TV Bible Study is a serious effort to study in depth every word of God. Each 30-minute lesson has been carefully arranged to assist you with your study of God's Word. And now for your TV Bible Study teacher, Richard Rogers.
What a pleasure it is to have you back with us for the TV Bible Study. We're in a discussion of Bible history. We're studying Genesis through Deuteronomy, and the title of the course is Hebrew Beginnings. We're going to be today on lesson number 14, which continues the life of Jacob. At the last lesson, we didn't really get a good opportunity to recap, and so let's go back and look at Jacob's life again. We said that there were four points under which we would study his life. The supplanter at home, the servant in Haran, the saint back home, and the seer in Egypt. Now, we've studied the supplanter at home, and under that, we needed really to place some points for our memory, in order that we might really zero in and we might cement the teaching concerning the Scripture at this place. From chapters 25 through chapter 28, verse 22, Jacob is at home and is the supplanter. And while he's there, he steals the birthright from his brother Esau. He tricks his father out of the blessing. And then he's sent away under the pretense of the fact that he's looking for a wife. But really he's sent away because his brother Esau wants to kill him. And he comes to Bethel, where he receives a revelation from God that makes it known that God recognizes him to be the head of the house. So at the point of the supplanter at home, let's remember the birthright, the blessing. Jacob is sent away, and he receives the revelation of the latter at the city of Bethel. Now, in continuing his life, we need to pick up with the servant at Haran, or the servant in Padan Aram. I wish you'd turn to chapter 29 of the book of Genesis. And here Jacob arrives at the city of Haran in Padan Aram, where he will soon come to live with his mother's brother, Laban. Read with me, starting in chapter 29, verse 1. And by the way, I think it would be good always to outline a section that we're about to enter. We're about to talk about the servant at Haran, or the servant in Padan Aram. And there'll be three points here. We will first of all talk about his marriages with Leah and with Rachel in chapter 29, verses 23 through 30. And then we'll talk about his 12 sons, and that will be one interesting piece of Scripture. For here it is that you see a rivalry between the two wives, Leah and Rachel. And that's chapter 29, verse 31 through chapter 30, verse 25, except for the last son, Benjamin, that's born in chapter 35 of the book of Genesis after they start back home. And then the third point here is that Jacob leaves Haran. And he leaves Haran with a whole lot more than he came with. And we'll look at that in chapter 30, verse 25 through chapter 31, verse 55. The marriage, the 12 sons, and the Exodus. Those are the three parts of his life in this period of his journey and of his life. Now turn to chapter 29, verse 1, and let's look at his marriages to Leah and Rachel. Start reading with me. We'll not read all of this, but let's read enough of it to get the flavor of what happens. Then Jacob went on his journey and came unto the land of the children of the east. And he looked, and behold, a well in the field, and behold, three flocks of sheep lying there by it. For out of that well they watered the flock, and the stone upon the well's mouth was great. And thither were all the flocks gathered, and they rolled the stone from the well's mouth and watered the sheep, and put the stone again upon the well's mouth in its place. And Jacob said unto them, My brethren, whence are ye? And they said, Of Haran are we. And he said, Do you know Laban, the son of Nahor? And they said, We know him. And he said, Is it well with him? And they said, It's well. And behold, Rachel, his daughter, cometh with the sheep. Now when she comes, Jacob sees that she is the daughter of his mother's brother, and he sees the sheep that they have. And verse 11 says, And Jacob kissed Rachel, and lifted up his voice, and wept. And Jacob told Rachel that he was his father's brother, and he was Rebekah's son, and she ran and told her father. Now immediately, Jacob loves Rachel. It's a thing of immediate love at first sight. Look, if you will, in verse 16 of chapter 29. And Laban had two daughters. The name of the elder was Leah, and the name of the younger was Rachel. And Leah's eyes were tender, but Rachel was beautiful and well-favored. Now, when it said Leah's eyes were tender, it's a Hebrew idiom. It doesn't mean that she's nearsighted, or she has astigmatism, or she can't see. But what it really means is it made your eyes tender to look at her. She was sore-eyed. She was an ugly lady. She was not pretty or beautiful at all, but very homely. And the only word that really would describe a woman of whom you said her eyes were tender was she was ugly. And on the contrary, Rachel was a beautiful woman and well-favored. That means she was well-built. She was beautiful of face and beautiful of body. And Jacob loved Rachel. You see, he still looked only at the external. Had he looked at the internal and found out and taken time to learn the two women, he probably would have loved Leah. But all he does is look at the external. He's still Jacob. He's still the tricky fellow that he's always been. So he loves Rachel. And he says to Laban, his mother's brother, in verse 18, I will serve thee 7 years for Rachel, thy younger daughter. And Laban says, it's better that I give her to thee than I should give her to another man. Abide with me. And Jacob served 7 years for Rachel. And they seem unto him but a few days for the love that he had for her. He really loved Rachel. Now, don't get the idea when they're making these payments, these dowry payments, that they're really buying a wife. That's not the idea at all. What they're purchasing is the right to be an inheritor in her father's possessions. Because when he becomes Rachel's husband, he becomes Laban's son. And he has a right to a rightful possession in the house of Laban. So the richer the father, the greater the dowry of the wife. Not the prettier the wife or the stronger the wife, but the richer the father. So what he's really purchasing with these 7 years is not a wife, but is the right to be Laban's son. The 7 years are over. And Jacob comes to Laban and he says, give me my wife. And so they have the marriage feast. And that normally lasted about 7 days in a rich man's house. And at the end of those 7 days, you might not be altogether sober. And at the end of the wedding feast, he goes into the tent. But you see, Laban is a whole lot like Rebecca. He's tricky, and he's a conniver. So instead of Rachel, he puts Leah in the tent with Jacob. And he doesn't know it's Leah till in the morning. In the morning when he wakes up, and maybe sobers up a bit, he sees that it's not beautiful Rachel, but it's ugly Leah. You know, Laban's pretty smart. He got rid of one that he might not have had a good chance to get rid of otherwise. And Jacob comes to him and says, why have you tricked me? Now, isn't that something? I mean, here's a fella that's tricked his brother and tricked his father, and now he's complaining. You see, he's made a bed he's having to sleep in. God does have a way of evening things out, doesn't he? And Laban said, it's just not done that way in our land. We never give the younger daughter before we give the older daughter. If you work 7 years for this one, Rachel, then I'll let you have her. He said, all right, I'll do so. Now, he worked 1 week, 7 days, as a promise that he would work a full 7 years to get Rachel to be his wife. And at the end of that week, he has two wives, Leah, whom he doesn't really love yet, and Rachel, that he loves real well. I think there's going to be trouble in his house. I believe that Jacob is going to have some trouble. And we're going to see that he does in the next point. For you see, immediately following the marriage to these two women comes his 12 sons that we start studying in chapter 29 in verse 31. Now, let me recap just quickly what's happened to Jacob. Jacob came and he wanted Rachel to be his wife. And so he agreed to work 7 years for her. He worked the 7 years and got Leah instead. He complained to Laban. Laban said, all right, I'll give you Rachel too, but you've got to promise to work for me 7 years and prove it by working 1 week. He worked 1 week, he got Rachel to be his wife. Laban gave both of the daughters a handmaid. He gave to Bilhah, gave Rachel Bilhah to be her handmaid, and gave Leah Zilpah to be her handmaid. And so Jacob now has two wives, and both of the wives have a handmaid. And then in 29 verse 31, God is going again to even things up a little. Because, you see, Jacob is going to love one woman more than he loves the other. Turn to chapter 29 and verse 31 and read with me. It says, and Jehovah saw that Leah was hated, and he opened her womb. But Rachel was barren. See, God evened it up. Rachel may be the one that's loved the most, but Leah is the one that has a womb that can bear. And now we begin the story of the birth of 12 sons. And we need to see more than simply 12 sons are born. For there's a story told in these boys' birth that needs to be learned as we see the fruit of trickiness, the fruit of guile and deceit. Read with me, starting with verse 31. And Leah conceived and bare a son. And she called his name Reuben. For she said, because Jehovah hath looked upon my affliction, for now my husband will love me. The word Reuben means, see, a son. I don't know who she's talking to. Maybe she's talking to Jacob. And she's saying, yeah, you may love Rachel, but look here who's bearing the son. Or she may be talking to Rachel. And she may be saying, yeah, my husband may love you, or our husband may love you more than he loves me, but look, here's a son. And so she called the first one Reuben. Verse 33 says, she conceived and bare a son, and said, because Jehovah hath heard that I am hated, he hath therefore given me this son also. And she called his name Simeon, which means Jehovah has heard. So she'd been praying, God, I want another son. Evidently, Jacob still lives mostly in Rachel's tent. Mostly loves Rachel. And so Leah prays, Lord, I need another son. I want another son. And so God hears her. And she bears a son, so she names him Jehovah has heard. Now she bears again in verse 34. She conceived again and bare a son and said, now this time will my husband be joined unto me because I have borne him three sons. Therefore his name was called Levi, which means joined unto me. The first time she said, look, there's a son. The second time she said, Jehovah's heard my prayer. The third time she says, now my husband will be joined unto me. And so that's what she named the boy. Now she conceives and bears a fourth son. And she conceived again and bare a son. And she said, this time will I praise Jehovah. Therefore she called his name Judah, which means praise Jehovah. And she left off bearing. So she stops having children for a while. But notice what those four children have said. What she named those four children have said. She said, look, for everybody that wants to look, I'm bearing a son. He may love Rachel more than he loves me, but God loves me, for I'm bearing this man children. And she continued to pray and ask God for children. And another one is born. And so she said, now has Jehovah heard me? Now has Jehovah looked upon my affliction and answered my prayer? And she bare a third son and said, now my husband will have to be joined unto me. And evidently was. Evidently he left Rachel's tent as the prime and preeminent tent, at least for a while, and came to live in the tent of Leah. You know, the writer of the Psalm said in the 127th Psalm, verses 3 through 5, that a man's sons are the honor and the strength of his name, and blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them. And you see, Leah has filled the quiver of Jacob. She has blessed Jacob because she has given Jacob now four sons. Now, Rachel's not going to be able to let that go unanswered. I mean, Rachel is going to have the love of her husband if she can have it. So, beginning in chapter 30, Rachel begins to try to get into the job of bearing children. Notice 30 verse 1. When Rachel saw that she bare Jacob no children, Rachel envied her sister. And she said to Jacob, give me children, else I die. And Jacob's anger was kindled against Rachel. Notice now he's mad at his wife. Jacob's anger is kindled against Rachel. And he said, am I in God's stead who hath withhold from thee the fruit of thy womb? Oh, there's trouble at home, isn't there? He deserves it, doesn't he? I mean, Jacob, who has been the conniving thief and crooked conniver all of his life, really deserves this trouble. Why is he getting it? I think because he deserves it. but even more so because he needs it. I mean, Jacob needs to learn the fruit of conceit and the fruit of conniving. And he's learning it in the experiences at home. Now watch what Rachel advises in verse 3 of chapter 30. Genesis 30, verse 3. Behold my maid Bilhah, go into her, that she may bear upon my knees, that I may also obtain children by her, just as Sarah had given Hagar. Now Rachel gives Bilhah. And she gave him Bilhah, her handmaid, the wife, and Jacob went into her. And Bilhah conceived and bare Jacob a son. And Rachel said, God hath judged me, and he hath also heard my voice, and hath given me a son. Therefore she called his name Dan, which means judgment, or he hath judged. And so evidently, you know, because he loved Rachel so much, as soon as Bilhah bears a child, Jacob is back over in Rachel's tent. We might even call Jacob before this lesson is over a ping pong ball. I mean, he's back and forth between the tents, back and forth across the net like a ball. And Bilhah, Rachel's handmaid, verse 7, conceived again and bare Jacob a second son. And Rachel said, with mighty wrestlings have I wrestled with my sister, and I have prevailed. Therefore she called his name Naphtali, which means he wrestled. And so she's conquered now. She's wrestled and won. She's won in the conflict. And so she calls his name Naphtali, which means he wrestled. Well, what Rachel can do, Leah can do, she's got a handmaid too. So in verse 9 of chapter 30, when Leah saw that she left off bearing, she took Zilpah, her handmaid, and gave her to Jacob to wife. And Zilpah, Leah's handmaid, bare Jacob a son. And Leah cried, fortunate! And so she called his name Gad, which means fortunate, or fortune is come. And Leah, until Paul, Leah's handmaid, bare a second son. And Leah said, happy am I. Evidently, Jacob left Rachel's tent and went back over into Leah's tent. She said, happy am I, for the daughters will call me happy. She called his name Asher, which means, happy am I. Now notice what's happened. One wife gave a handmaid, two sons were born. Judgment and wrestling. The other wife gave a handmaid, and two sons were born. Fortune has come, and happy am I. Oh, poor old Jacob. I mean, he's in terrible turmoil, but he deserves every minute of it. And he needs every minute of it. In verse 14 of chapter 30, Reuben goes out into the field, and he finds some mandrakes. That mandrake is a fruit. As a matter of fact, if you look at the marginal reading of most Bibles, you'll see that he found some love apples. It was some fruit thought by those people to have the power to restore sexual potency. And so he's worried about his mother not having any more children and the struggle between them. And so Reuben, the firstborn, goes out and he finds some love apples. And Rachel comes to Leah and says, give me, I pray thee, of thy son's love apples. And Leah says, you've got my husband. Would you have my son's love apples too? And Rachel says, you give me the love apples and I'll guarantee you, Jacob will come into your tent tonight. And so Leah gives Rachel the love apples. And then when Jacob comes in from the field, Leah goes out to see him and says, you've got to come into my tent tonight, for surely I've hired thee with my son's love apples. And God remembers Leah. And he opens Leah's womb. And Leah conceives and bears Jacob a fifth son. And Leah says in verse 18 of chapter 30, God hath given me my hire, because I gave my handmaid to my husband, and she called his name Issachar, which means my hire. And so she's hired her husband, and so she calls the name of the son my hire. And God looked upon her, and she conceived again and bare a sixth son to Jacob. And Leah said, God hath endowed me with a good dowry. Now will my husband dwell with me. That would appear as if he's left Rachel's tent and gone back over to Leah's tent. Because I have borne him six sons, and she called his name Zebulun, which means he dwelt, because she believes now he will dwell in her tent. And maybe he does from this time forward. For Jacob, if I've read the book correctly, is learning some of the lessons he needs to learn. Leah also bore a daughter named Dinah. Now Dinah is just the feminine form of Dan. It also means he judged. Our judgment has come. Now God finally remembers Rachel in verse 22 of chapter 30. And God remembered Rachel, And God hearkened unto her and opened her womb. And she conceived and bare a son and said, God hath taken away my reproach. And she called his name Joseph, saying, Jehovah, add to me another. See, every time she called Joseph in, the word Joseph means add to me another. So every time she calls the name Joseph, she's praying that God will give her another son. She's not given another son till over here in chapter 35, verses 16 and 18. They're on their way back into the promised land. Matter of fact, they're right near the city of Bethlehem, where later Jesus will be born. And she's heavy with child, and she's in travail. And it appears as if she's going to die in the childbirth. And she does. And when the midwife is there, and the child is born, she calls his name Benoni, which means the son of my sorrow. But Jacob is standing by, and he says, no, I won't have that. I won't have that son called Benoni, the son of sorrow. But his name will be called Benjamin, the son of my right hand. Because that's where Rachel had always walked. And that's where that's where Jacob had always considered Rachel to be. Oh, don't those four sons really tell us a tragic story of trouble in Jacob's troubled house? When that last son is born, Jacob wants to leave Haran. And he goes to his father-in-law, Laban. And he tells him that he wants the goods that are his, because he wants to go home. And Laban says, look, I don't want you to go home empty-handed. You serve me 6 more years, and I'll give you a certain share of the sheep. And so Jacob said, all right, here's the deal. Here's the bargain. See, God had given Jacob a dream. And in that dream, Jacob had seen Laban's flock bringing forth ring-streaked and speckled and black and spotted and grizzled sheep in abundance and in the majority. And those were normally the terrible minority, and were normally the weaker and not the stronger. But God has revealed to Jacob in a dream that Laban's flock will bring forth those in the majority, and they'll be the stronger. So he said, I tell you what, I'll serve you, and all I'll take is my wages, or all of the sheep that are black or ring-streaked or speckled or spotted or grizzled. Well, Laban thinks that Jacob's lost his mind. And he jumps at the opportunity for that deal. But for the next 6 years, the best of Laban's flock bring forth just as Jacob's dream said they would. Now Jacob, very superstitiously, peels some rods. And he places them before the sheep when they come to drink water. And when the strong come to drink, he shows them the rods. And when the weak comes to drink, he doesn't show them the rods. And Jacob's still trying to be the tricky old fellow he is. Believes, I'm sure, if that's what's going to cause them to do so. That wasn't it at all. God's done something in the genetic structure. Because, see, that's what determines what sheep are like, not some rods that the sheep are shown. But God has arranged the genetic structure of Laban's flock in such a way that Jacob will leave with the richest of Laban's flocks. At the end of 6 years, Jacob is envied and hated by Laban and by Laban's son. For he has the majority and the strongest of Laban's flock. So he sneaks away late at night one night while his father-in-law is away and while he's not looking. And he carries all of his family and all of his goods away. When Laban finds out, he chases him. And he catches up with him. And he says, why have you stolen away unawares and not let me kiss my daughters and my grandchildren? And why have you stolen my household gods also? It's very evident. That's the thing he's really concerned about, is the household gods. And I used to wonder why. Well, when the archaeologists dug up the two ancient cities of the Hittite Empire, they found out that the household gods were the sign, the symbol, of the man's right to be the head of the house. I mean, Laban is not even going to be able to establish, without these household gods, to any rival brother, that he has a right to be the head of his father's house. He says, Jacob does. I didn't steal your gods. Rachel had, but he didn't know it. Hey, Rachel's a whole lot like Jacob too, isn't she? A little bit crooked. A little bit of a thief. And so, Jacob says, wherever you find these household gods, in whosoever hand you find them, they will die. He doesn't know Rachel has stolen them. Rachel goes into her tent and sits on the camel's saddle and puts the gods underneath her skirts. And when her father comes in, she says, pardon me, Father, I cannot get up, for it's with me after the manner of women. She claimed it to be her period. And she couldn't get up, she said. She lied. A whole lot like Jacob, isn't she? So the father goes home empty-handed. He kisses Rachel. He kisses his sons. He kisses his daughter. He kisses all of the folk that he has. And he and Jacob make a bargain that they won't cross a barter between each other again. Laban doesn't want to see any more of Jacob, and Jacob doesn't want to see any more of Laban. Because Laban has changed Jacob's wages 7 times, and Jacob has stolen the very best that Laban had. The best of his, he's stolen his daughters, he's stolen his gods, Laban thinks. He's stolen the best of the flock. He doesn't want to see him anymore. I really believe, especially in the next lesson we'll study, we'll see that Jacob has really learned a bunch in the 20 years that he's been in Laban's house. He's learned the fruit of guile. He's got a wife that he didn't want because of the fruit of guile. He's got trouble in his house with 2 women that don't like each other sometimes because of the trickiness and the guile and the deceit of deception. He's got 12 sons that are going to be warring with one another, particularly. Are they going to be warring between Leah's sons and Rachel's sons throughout all of his life? But in all of that, God has had a purpose. God has had a purpose in the deceit of Jacob when he was at home. He's had a purpose in the deceit of Laban, in the deceit of Leah, in the deceit of Rachel. He's had a purpose in all of this deceit. And that purpose is that Jacob might begin to learn that promotion does not come from the east or from the west or from man, but it comes from Jehovah. He's teaching Jacob to trust in Him. Surely that's the lesson we need to learn from this, isn't it? That we cannot expect to win. That we cannot expect to be honored by God because of any plan or scheme or plot or trickiness that we have. We can't fool God. God knows everything, sees everything, and is altogether powerful. I'm convinced that these things were written for our example, that we might learn not to sin as Jacob learned. In our next study, we're going to see Jacob the supplanter become Israel, the prince, the ruler of God. It's been a great joy. It is a great joy to study the Bible with you. God bless you until our next study.
Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness.
These lessons are available on video cassette tapes for use with video cassette players or TV station broadcasting. Audio cassette tapes are also available. This systematic study of the Bible was designed for a variety of uses: teacher training programs, substitute teacher needs, community Bible study programs on local TV, and hospital closed circuit programs, to mention a few. God bless your study of His Word.
I am the way and the truth and the life.